I had to really face all of the places in my life where I could be doing the work better. A lot of us people in professions that are, helping other people, we don't always take our own advice. And I wanted to make sure that I was actually practicing all of these things that I was telling people they should work on and that I was doing these push-ups that I was prescribing. So I really got to know myself in a new way through that. And then I also learned that writing a book is really vulnerable in a way that I wasn't necessarily expecting. I do a lot of public speaking. I'm used to kind of putting myself out there. But writing a book is being vulnerable on this really grand scale. You are really kind of taking everything you think is important and putting it out there and then just hoping people like it and hoping people look at it and take it up.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's Seven Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, my friends. That's right, indeed. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat five times over, indeed, because we got another best-selling author in the building, baby. That's right, indeed. She put pen to paper, and the paper became metaphorical gold like an alchemist, y'all, because that's a magical book out there for folks to devour more ways than one, because today's wonderful guest, y'all, she's a clinical psychologist as well as a two-time, you heard that right, folks, a two-time TEDx speaker, as well as the co-founder of COA, the gym for mental health. So let's give it up for the good doc, Miss EA herself. We're talking about EA Sports. We're talking about the fabulous Emily Anholt. How you doing today, Dr. Emily?
That is probably the best intro I've ever gotten, so I'm feeling great.
Woohoo! So I'm talking about indeed. That's right, indeed. Here's one of the better parts of the show before the rabbit holes appear. Yeah, but don't worry. Some of the rabbits are chocolate, if you're a fan. Just saying.
Oh, great.
We're still working on the caramel rabbits, though. We haven't gotten access to those yet. I don't know why, but then
someday.
Again. Yeah, chocolate's always
to have
in high
goals.
Demand. See, there we go. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's right indeed. So that right, folks. If your goal is to find the caramel rabbit, that's right indeed. Dr. Emily might have you covered. You never know. That's right indeed. But hey, it ain't about rabbits with all the flavors. It's about you. And no matter how good intros are, they're not allowed to basically tell the whole freaking story. So my feeling is sitting on how you became the fabulous lady that you are today.
Sure thing. Little background on me. So I'm a clinical psychologist. I've been studying and practicing psychology for about 20 years now. I grew up in Silicon Valley. I had raging ADHD as a kid. I still do. And somewhere along the way, I figured out that I needed to learn and teach myself how to exist in society and, make friends and learn and work. And, there are things that just didn't come as easily to me. And then in high school, I had a psychology teacher who really inspired me. And I realized that when you know a lot about psychology, you know a little about everything because the world is spoken in the language of relationships. And psychology is the study of the relationship you have to yourself and other people. So then in grad school, I was in Silicon Valley for that. And I was working with a lot of entrepreneurs. And it led me to be interested in figuring out what a more proactive approach to mental health might look like. So in addition to having a private practice with founders and entrepreneurs, I also started a mental health startup called COA, and I did a big research project to figure out what a proactive approach to mental health actually looks like. And in this research, I interviewed 100 psychologists and entrepreneurs and essentially asked them, how would you know if you were sitting across the table from an emotionally healthy person? What does that look like? What does that feel like? And out of this research came these seven traits of emotional fitness, the seven things that emotionally healthy people are working on all the time. And my book essentially is exploring these seven traits. And for each one, it shares a clinical example from my practice. It shares personal examples, and it shares emotional push-ups, exercises you can do to get stronger in these seven areas of your life.
There we go. Emotional push-ups. That's right, indeed. That's right. It's like the mini me in your mind, just doing push-ups wearing camouflage with an imaginary David Goggins just yelling and screaming at him. That's right,
Exactly.
Sure, 20 years, man. You must have just freaking started at like freaking, I don't know, like 10 years old. That's freaking hilarious.
Yeah, I went straight from college to grad school, dove right into it. And it's been a ride. I dig it.
Woohoo! Like a caterpillar digger in a big old shovel. She's digging it. I love it. That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So my goodness, what's like putting the book together? Because with all of your freaking knowledge and all those interviews with the entrepreneurs and psychologists, like I'm sure there was hard parts to you had to probably take out of the final product.
Yeah, writing a book is such an adventure. And luckily I had the help of an editor because I'm really much more comfortable speaking about these concepts than I am about writing them. And so I did a lot of recording myself speaking about things and then transcribing that and then figuring out how to make it sound like something you would read versus something you would listen to. So that was a big part of my process. And then, you know, they say, kill your darlings. There was a whole lot of, you know, ultimately not every idea I have can fit in this one book, and that's okay. How can I organize things in a cohesive way? I had to figure out what order I wanted to put the traits to make it really make sense as a step-by-step regimen for your mental health. So there was a lot of that. And I'm also not necessarily a natural writer, and being creative on demand is hard. So I really had to try to set situations up for myself that would make it possible for me to write. And a lot of that had to do with setting deadlines because the anxiety of an impending deadline really kicks me into gear. So when they say, oh, have us, you know, get us your transcript or your manuscript in a year, to me, that means, okay, well, I guess I'll get started 11 months from now. And so I had to start setting up little deadlines along the way to make sure that I was working on it all the time.
There you go. Sometimes got to pin ourselves down. It's like, all right, man, oh man, shoot. And then the aggressive ADHD too. It's like, man, the deadlines, I imagine, definitely helped.
For sure. For sure.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. So what you learned about yourself through the whole writing process?
What a good question. I learned a lot about my relationship to emotional fitness itself. So emotional fitness is what this whole book is about, this idea of a more proactive approach. And I had to really face all of the places in my life where I could be doing the work better. You know, a lot of us people in professions that are, you know, helping other people, we don't always take our own advice. And I wanted to make sure that I was actually practicing all of these things that I was telling people they should work on, and that I was doing these push-ups that I was prescribing. And so I really got to know myself in a new way through that. And then I also learned that writing a book is really vulnerable in a way that I wasn't necessarily expecting. You know, I do a lot of public speaking. I'm used to kind of putting myself out there. I'm on social media. I'm familiar with how it can feel good and also terrible. But writing a book is being vulnerable on this really grand scale. You know, you are really kind of taking everything you think is important and putting it out there and then just hoping people like it and hoping people look at it and take it up. So I had to, you know, really grapple with my own discomfort of that kind of vulnerability and exposure. And that's been a journey, but it's felt overall really, really good for me.
Yeah, I feel you. Because, hey, book writing is basically the business of immortality. Because, like, hey, the book does well. So it's traditionally published. It's like, shoot, lives forever. I was like, oh, now they're going to be knowing what the heck I was thinking at this age and what I've researched. And then out of nowhere, they have no idea what could happen next. Could grow and write another book. Maybe write that billionaire Highlander vampire romance novel. You never know.
You know what? That's so funny you say that, because I was thinking that if I write another book, it would probably not be another self-help book, because I feel like I just poured so many of my deepest pieces of wisdom into this one. I feel like if I were to write another book, it would be some kind of, I don't know, fun, spicy fiction book of some kind.
Oh, so we will get the billionaire Highlander vampire romance novel. All right.
You just might. You just might.
Yeah. That's right, indeed. That's right. He's going to want to suck your blood, but he's wearing FUBU, and he's in Brooklyn. Let me stop.
Exactly.
That's freaking awesome, indeed. Freaking awesome, indeed. And that's good, though, especially sounds like you want to explore your creativity, because that was actually going to be one of my next questions. Would you explore another genre? But it sounds like you probably would.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I would. I mean, again, writing just doesn't come naturally to me. And I really appreciate this podcast. I think it shows that all writers are not created equal, and that's okay. And you can come to this venture from many different places. And I do want to just throw out there to people that if you have ideas that you want to communicate, but you're not necessarily a great writer, it's okay to ask for support in the form of an editor or a ghostwriter or whatever you need. You know, ultimately, it's just about putting those ideas in front of as many people as possible.
Amen to that. Amen to that. You'll love to see it, indeed. You summarize the show's vibe so succinctly, you'll love to see it. The doctor's definitely in, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. So, my goodness, now with all these, shoot, and you mentioned mental push-ups. So, my goodness, so for folks who are looking to, shoot, metaphorically put on the metaphorical yoga pants or basketball shorts and hop on their brain and hop into the gym, what's the first step folks should take after reading your magical book, or at least I should say buying it?
Yeah, so, you know, I talk a lot about this idea of these emotional push-ups. And if you think about what a physical push-up is, it's this tiny physical exertion. And if you only do one, it's not really going to do a lot for your life. But if you do them every day, over time, not only will you be able to do more push-ups, but you're also going to get stronger in other areas of your life. You're going to be able to lift weights, and you're going to be able to carry heavy groceries. And then in the long run, there are these huge benefits too, like your body will be more equipped to fight off disease, and you'll live longer and all kinds of things. And so an emotional push-up is the emotional equivalent. It's anything that puts you just a little outside of your emotional comfort zone so that you can learn and grow. And what's a little outside of one person's comfort zone might be way out of another person. So you have to figure out what your personal emotional workout routine might be. So for example, for you, an emotional push-up might be apologizing for a mistake, or it might be meditating for 5 minutes in the morning. For someone else, an emotional push-up might be celebrating a win or putting your phone away at a red light and just sitting with your thoughts. It's really all about figuring out, where in my life am I avoiding things that I should actually be embracing in order to become stronger emotionally?
That's right, indeed. Should that jewelry store manage, y'all? That's right, indeed. She's dropping gems, y'all. Yeah, that's right, indeed. It's like, hey, what am I avoiding, y'all? That's right, hey. What's dodging me? What am I dodging?
So I'm going to ask you, what do you think an emotional push-up would be for you? Like, what's something in your life that makes you a little more uncomfortable than it seems to make other people? And how could you lean toward that discomfort today a little bit instead of away from it?
Shoot. You know what? Sometimes saying no without explanation, like, that's one that definitely pops out. Sometimes, like, it's in, like, shoot, get my personality. I was like, oh yeah, I can take on the world, Superman, put on the cape and whatnot, say yes to everything, year of yes, all the goodness. Then it's like, after a while, it's like, man, I think I bit off more than I could chew again. All right.
That is like such a good one. That's such a good one, and I think a lot of people probably relate. There are a lot of people pleasers and just people who are trying to be kind, good humans out there who say yes to everything. But then, you know, the whole idea around this discomfort stuff is that often the things we do to avoid our discomfort end up being more uncomfortable in the long run. So when you say yes, when you don't really have the capacity, then you might grow resentful of those people, or you might get exhausted or burnt out, or you might feel less excited about the other things that you're doing in your life. And so if instead you can lean toward that discomfort and just say no when what you mean is no, you're actually saving yourself a lot of discomfort, and you're protecting your relationships, because when we don't offer more than we actually have to give, we're making sure that we keep our relationships healthy and we keep ourselves from feeling angry and resentful toward other people.
I was so right about that. I was like, hey, at least they won't be disappointed later if it's lackluster. It's like, I didn't even start in the first place.
Exactly.
That's right indeed. Some say under promise, over deliver. Some say don't promise, don't deliver. But if you promise, do over deliver.
Yes. If you do promise, at least deliver.
Yep. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. So my goodness, so since you're more of a speaker instead of a writer, my goodness, did you ever adopt any writing rituals in addition to your wonderful deadlines to get yourself in the zone to write?
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned I have ADHD and I did all of my doctoral research on ADHD. And what I really came to understand is that it's so important to set environments up for yourself that will let your brain kind of click in. And so a lot of this process was me figuring out what needs to be true for me to be productive. And for me, it was like only trying to work at certain times of day. You know, I wasn't effective at writing in the morning or super late at night. It was really about the early afternoon to sort of early evening time for me. And then I also needed to be in a comfortable seat. I'm not good at sitting at a desk or in a library where it's really quiet. I needed there to be a comfy environment and also one with some background noise. So I would sometimes go sit at a couch in a cafe or on my actual couch at home with some music in the background or, you know, anything that gave me that kind of physical comfort with a little bit of noise. So that was really helpful. And then I'm completely unproductive if I'm hungry. So I made sure that I didn't even start writing unless I had a snack nearby. And I almost started to hack all of the little conditions that needed to be there for me to be productive and effective. And I would set all those things up for myself. And then I'd sit down and I'd say, all right, I've got everything that I need. I'm going to just drop in. And I tried to make sure that I didn't pressure myself to get a certain amount done. It was more just about coaxing myself into starting over and over again. Because once I start writing, I can get into it. I can get into the flow. And it's really just getting started that was hard. So a lot of my journey was just about learning how to get myself to just open the document and just start writing. I've heard the idea that first you should just do it badly and then you can make it good. And so I really tried to channel that. All right, I need to write this chapter. I don't need to write a good chapter. I just need to write a crappy chapter. And then future me will figure out how to make it good. So that was really helpful for me.
Woohoo, helpful indeed. She found her POP and created a baby, her place of productivity for it. You love to say it. Right, indeed. That's right, indeed. They say pop goes the weasel. Nah, pop goes the book in this case.
Hopefully.
Oh, you know, hopefully you did. You got your book launched this week at the time of this recording. So good times indeed. Good times indeed. Actually, shoot, on that note, what's next for you? Because now, shoot, you got to go on tour, I imagine, and this is part of it.
Yeah, so I'm not doing a physical book tour. I'm doing a podcast tour. So I'm so honored to be here as part of it. And, you know, the idea is a book tour is an amazing thing. And it is really cool to meet people in different places and talk about your book. But I liked the idea of talking to people that I might not be able to get to and being able to speak to thousands of people at a time, everyone who listens to this wonderful podcast. And so that's what I've been spending a lot of my time doing is podcast recordings. I also do talks for companies and at conferences and, you know, try to plug my book at the end of that and post on social media, all of that. And someone asked me, you know, my book launched on Tuesday and someone asked me how it felt. And the way I've been describing it is that it felt both overwhelming in the best way and also dramatically anticlimactic. You know, there's all of this, there's all of this intensity building up to this one day. And then the day comes and, you know, it's just a day, you know, and there's, you know, I had my little book launch party in San Francisco that day, but otherwise it's just a day of you kind of trying to stop yourself from refreshing Amazon ranking over and over again and focusing more on just feeling proud that you got to that point. And so now that I'm on the other side of it, it's nice. I feel some spaciousness. I feel like I can focus on other things that I might be excited to pour my time and energy into.
Sweet, congrats, right
Thank
indeed,
you.
right indeed. It's right indeed, good times indeed. Gotta love a sweet victory. Yeah. Yeah, definitely true. I can feel you on that one, because sometimes it's like, hey, you should probably have a good old book launch. Yay, I'm having the book launch. All right. Nothing feels different. You probably
Totally.
felt
No one handed me $1 million. Nothing in my life changed overnight. You know, I got really mixed reviews from friends who had written books. Some of them said, you know, get ready because you're going to be so busy afterwards. There's going to be so much happening. And some of them said, you know, nothing changes that dramatically. You know, you'll get new opportunities. You can leverage the book, but it'll just kind of be a thing that you've done. And I can really see how both those things could be true. I tried to prepare myself for both.
Good deal indeed. Good deal indeed. So it sounds like getting the proof copy was more exciting than the launch week. That's thus far, anyway.
Step was pretty exciting. I'm so grateful to have done it. And I do feel like it's helpful to throw out there that, you know, if it doesn't feel that crazy of a, you know, life-changing thing, it's still worth doing. I'm still so glad that that I poured my whole self into it.
There you go. That's right indeed. That's right. She had three tea parties worth of pouring herself into it. You love to see it. That's right indeed. Hashtag terrific time. So my goodness, with all this wonderful success and all these wins you have under your belt, I'm pretty sure you had some setbacks along the way. So has there been a major one in life or in business that actually became a setup for success for you?
Oh, that's a cool question. So my startup, Koa, is a gym for mental health, and it was meant to be an actual physical gym that would eventually become a series of gyms. We wanted to make, you know, Equinox for mental health kind of thing. And we had our first space in San Francisco all ready. You know, we were so excited about what it was going to be. And just as we were getting ready to really, you know, open it up to the world, COVID hit. And it became very clear very fast that an in-person space was not going to be the move. And so we had to pivot really quickly and become an online mental fitness gym instead of an in-person one. And I remember feeling so defeated and deflated by that, because in my mind, mental health is so much about relationships, and in-person relationships are unmatched. You know, I really was excited about the thought of people coming in and drinking coffee and talking about their emotional journeys and having a place to go to therapy and all of that. And what ended up being really powerful about it was that COVID was a time that people really needed mental health support, and we were able to pivot and still provide it online. And though it's not exactly the same, it felt like we were catching people who really needed it in that moment. And that felt really nice and kind of buoyed my spirits around all of it.
Me lucky indeed. That's right indeed. It's always good when you can pivot and it's successful afterwards. Definitely indeed.
100%. Yeah. What's yours? What's one of your setbacks that ended up being a positive thing?
2012, where folks thought the world was going to end, and all that really happens is folks just didn't have Twinkies for a month. That's really the biggest year.
That's the one that comes to mind, huh?
Yeah, because that was the year where I had a setback sandwich of my dad being diagnosed with Alzheimer's, getting into a car accident on my 21st birthday, and finding out that I was screwing up on my day job at a local library at the time. So, yeah, it was a good time. Ended up becoming the part of the last chapter of my first ever book, Going North, that eventually led to this podcast.
That's incredible. Yeah. Wow. I can absolutely see how in the moment that would have felt so insurmountable. And then you kind of look back and see the way that you turned it into steps to move up north, up this mountain of your life.
Yeah, indeed. That's right indeed. Didn't have to deal with all the snow. It was just more rocks.
Right.
So my goodness, since you're going on a podcast tour promoting the magical work that you're doing, helping out the masses and the molasses, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Let me think about that. I feel like people ask great questions. I'm always so thrilled to hear how people are working on their own emotional fitness in that way. Maybe what I would want people to ask me more is, what is my favorite pastry? Because, you know, we don't talk about that enough. And I am a really big fan of pastries and food, and good food is part of my mental health routine. So maybe that's the question I would say.
So what is your favorite pastry?
So my favorite pastry is in San Francisco. It's at a little bakery called Noe Valley Bakery, and it is essentially a fancy version of the Hostess cupcake. So it's like a chocolate cupcake with some delicious Bavarian cream inside and a layer of chocolate on top. And it looks just like a little Hostess cupcake. And it is truly the most delicious, incredible thing.
So now I know why I flipped the question back on me, so I can mention Twinkies, which leads to this Hostess lookalike that probably tastes a heck of a lot better.
Yeah, maybe that's why that question was in my mind, because you were just talking about Twinkies.
That's right, indeed. The good old one universal mind is like, yeah, I'm asking this question. Yeah, he'll talk about Twinkies and I'll ask about my pastry. That's right.
Exactly.
Funny enough, shoot, that'll transition to this one. So your fabulous, wonderful book in multiple formats, Flex Your Feelings. Train your brain to develop the 7 traits of emotional fitness. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh, if that book were a food, you know what's so funny? A friend of mine just made a video about this, so I'm going to use his answer because I thought it was so good, which is emotional fitness is like kimchi, where if you are not already pretty familiar with kimchi, you might smell it and be like, ooh, I don't know about all that. I don't know if I'm excited about that. And then you start eating it and you think, huh, this is kind of interesting. What do I think about this? Do I like this? And then all of a sudden you find yourself going back for more and more. And what you don't realize is that it's healing you from the inside. And all of a sudden your gut health is better and you feel great. And that's what emotional fitness is like. At first, you're not sure if you really want to be uncomfortable, if you really want to be flexing your feelings. But if you do, not only will it start to feel really good, but there's going to be all kinds of benefits and healing that happen as a result.
Woohoo! As a result, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. Rare answer, too. That's right, indeed. We had maybe one other kimchi answer, maybe, I'm thinking.
Oh, okay.
Just maybe. Although, you're probably like the 400th person I've asked this question, so kind of hard to go back and ever met some Rolodex at the moment.
I love it. It's a great question.
Thank you indeed. Great indeed. It's not one of your average bear questions. Get you out of the zone.
For sure.
It's like Yogi Bear being an actual yogi with yoga pants.
Do you have these sayings locked and loaded, or does your mind just work in this incredibly, you know, sort of unique, random way of pulling together these different thoughts and words?
That's a combination of both.
Solid. Love it.
Yep, that's right indeed. The Yogi Bear one, that's been locked and loaded for a while, definitely, because it's hilarious. Because it's like, oh, you never see Yogi Bear Yauks yoga pants. And it's like, oh, yeah, not your average bear. It all works out.
I love it. It's awesome.
Oh, man. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive. And that is
I'm ready.
Oh, yes, right indeed. And that is if you're going to wake up tomorrow and you're 25 again in 2025, what advice would you give to yourself?
Gosh, if I was 25 again right now, I think the biggest advice I would give to myself is to not spend so much time worrying about what will or won't happen in the future. To just enjoy the present moment and trust your future self to handle future problems. You know, I would tell her, future you has your back. So don't worry too much about that and just revel in the cosmic lottery winning incredibility that is the fact that you are alive right now.
Oh, that's a gem right there. Future you has your back, y'all.
Definitely.
That's right, D. That's right, plot twist. Be like, am I going to be a chiropractor? No, not that guy to have your back. You're like, hey, put that back. What are you doing? And that one was all the spots. So yeah, corn, greatest export here. That's right indeed. Inspiration in corn cobs via corny jokes. You'll love to see it.
I'm here for it.
Oh, yes, you are. And I love it. That's what I'm talking about indeed. And folks need to be here for you 24/7 by keeping up with your journey and buying multiple copies of your magical book. So for those who need to do just that, what's the best way for folks to do so, Dr. Emily?
If you type in Flex Your Feelings and my name, Emily Anhalt, the book is available on all the different places, Amazon. And actually, I just hit number one in my subcategory on Amazon, which is so exciting. Woo! And you can find it on bookshop.org. If you want to support local bookstores, you can find it at Barnes & Noble, all over the place. And you can find me on socials at Dr. Emily Anhalt.
Yeah, that's right, dude. You heard from the good doc herself, baby number one. That's right, in the subcategory. That's right, dude. It ain't Subway, it ain't Submarine, it ain't Subatomic, it's subcategory, y'all, but she's on top of it. That's right, indeed. Like the cherry on top, like the blanket on your freaking mattress during the cold weather. She's got you covered, y'all, so check out her freaking book. It's good stuff. You get to flex your feelings, y'all. That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. You'll get to go full pretzel, maybe full pigeon pose or crow pose, maybe warrior pose, maybe all the metaphorical yoga poses, y'all. That's right, indeed. So keep up with the good doc herself, because she's still just getting started, because there's a long run way ahead of her, indeed. Well, Betty, parting words before we close up shop?
Oh, just thank you for having me and for creating this important place where other people working on this wild little journey feel less alone. It's a really powerful thing.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.